Dear friends, thank you for joining us this evening to another Gnostic Lab for practical application. Tonight, we are going to dedicate our efforts into discovering our internal Pharisee. You would remember from the cosmic drama that was incarnated by the great master Jesus. He had to face one of the most supreme, highest priests of the time. And this man came to play a very peculiar role in this cosmic drama of our great master, Yeshua ben Pandira. Even though this man was one of the highest ranking priests, even though this man was very well respected by everyone in his community, he demonstrated through his actions that there was a constant concept of being better and being more than others. On the outside, he appeared very clean, very elegant, and certainly very majestic in his title as a high priest. But internally, he was populated with defects and bad habits and so many other things. And this is exactly what we need to understand out of our own selves. Because when was the last time that you enjoyed having a conversation with somebody who was being hypocritical to you? When was the last time that you truly enjoyed being betrayed by somebody who was hypocritical with you? Well, perhaps it may be difficult for you to remember that. But the thing is, you see, that we may not see ourselves as being hypocrites. Perhaps we may think of ourselves as being good people, as not being a gossiper like our neighbor, as not being nosy like the neighbor perhaps on the other side of the street. Maybe we pride ourselves into thinking that we are humble. Maybe we pride ourselves into thinking that we are minimalists, or that we are reserved, or that we are not walking around showing our body and inciting lust in others. Maybe our fundamental thinking is that others are the bad ones, and that others are the ones who cause problems, and certainly not us. So let's ponder on that. Every time that we are thinking that those who are bad are everyone else around us, everyone we think that we are the ones who are fair and just and not others, everyone we think that we are not the lustful ones, that we are not the fornicators, that we are not the adulterous, that we are not the thieves, that we are not the perverse ones. Every time that we think that we are not that, but that somebody else is, that is giving us an indication that our foundation is very poor. It's telling us that we are leaning, resting, basing pretty much the self-image that we have created of ourselves in a very weak and poor foundation. Samael tells us we must reflect upon the different circumstances of our lives, because it is necessary for us to comprehend over which foundation we are resting, over which foundation we are structuring ourselves in life. And you would remember that parable from the great master Jesus as he is addressing his crowd, and he is telling them that it is impossible for a rich one to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, today because we are constantly projecting our defects. When we hear this concept, impossible for a rich man to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven, impossible for a rich one to be able to walk through the eyelet of a needle, maybe you have heard that, we project our own defects, and when we hear rich, what we are seeing in the eye of our mind is our own ambitions, our own desires. And we think rich, and we think immediately of someone who lives in luxury, perhaps someone who is constantly wearing the latest trends and fashions, maybe somebody who is constantly making changes in their home, buying new cars, having new clothes, etc., etc. So let's not do that. Because the concept of rich has nothing to do with that, except today. Except today, in our modern day lingo and in our modern day transactions. Originally, the word rich means powerful. So anyone who considers themselves as rich will not be able to enter into that kingdom of heaven. Meaning, anyone who sees themselves as powerful will not be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? Well, it means that anyone who sees themselves as self-sufficient, they will not be able to walk into paradise. Anyone who sees themselves as superior to others is not going to be able to walk into paradise. So now we have a completely different view and a completely different perspective to this concept of being rich. Rich as it is written and stated in the Holy Scriptures. And we perhaps are not rich financially, but we are certainly rich when it comes to our concepts of being powerful. When it comes to our concepts of being better than others. Just imagine for a second. If today we are basing the foundation of this self-image that we have created for ourselves in appearances, in our consideration that we are better than others because we have a master's degree or because we have a PhD, or because we are better than others because our husband is the director of this or the owner of that. Maybe the consideration that I am better than others because I am a manager in this or because I am responsible for that. Imagine for a second if something catastrophic were to happen and all of that disappeared. Imagine for a second if we were facing the consequences of a natural disaster and all of a sudden then there were no more social clubs, no more universities, no more universities, no more usage of fancy vehicles, no use for your fancy credit cards. Then what is left? If none of that continues to exist, then over which base, over which foundation are we going to lean against? You know, we think that we are powerful, and in reality, we are scary weak. We tend to think that we are so capable, that we are so in control, but in reality, we are not. All it takes is the words of somebody else for us to immediately crumble. All it takes is a little bit of criticism here and there. Perhaps some implied words on Facebook to ruin somebody's day. So we are very weak. We are weak psychologically, and we are certainly weak at an emotional level. So friends, it becomes very urgent for us to do some self-observation. And we need to be willing to observe ourselves throughout our daily doings. Because we need to find out over which foundation we are resting. We need to find this out. When we start identifying throughout the day, what are those things that offend us? When we observe ourselves and we realize what things are those that are creating that psychological discomfort, things that make us feel uneasy, things that make us feel inadequate. When we do that, we slowly start discovering the elements that make up the foundation over which we're resting. We start understanding the components of that psychological foundation. And that foundation, my good friends, is what the great master Yeshua ben Pandira, the great master Jesus, what he refers to as the sands over which you will build your home. Perhaps you have heard that parable that has been written in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. That particular parable is the one that narrates how is it that the man who builds his home upon a foundation of stone, that home is capable of withstanding the flow of stormy waters. That home is capable of withstanding the beating that comes from the winds of the hurricane, and that house does not crumble. But whoever builds their house over a foundation of that weak sand, whenever those stormy winds come around, meaning the difficulties that we find in the mind, whenever the stormy waters come and strike them, meaning the temptations that are surrounding us day in and day out, then those houses crumble. How exactly is it that we are like that person, like that man who tries to build his home on a weak foundation? Well, that happens every time that we think that our school is better than someone else's school. That happens when we think that the Gnostic doctrine that we hear from one instructor is better than the one that we hear from another instructor. You see? That's the internal Pharisee right there. That happens any time that you look left or right and you say, ah, thank God that I am not fat like that. Thank God that I don't gossip like that other person. Thank God that I am such a better person and that I go to church or that I tithe or that I help others or that I sacrifice or that I fast and these people don't. You see, every time that we think like that, if we are truly observant, we start seeing the elements that are methodically weaving our own psychological foundation. But the thing is that we never believe that we do that. We always tend to project our defects and we tend to think that it is always somebody else. And we are in reality very short-minded. We are very short-sighted. We never think that we do all those silly things. We never think that we are perverse. And we are always reaching the conclusion that we are great people. It is very sad that we don't see all the silly stuff that we do every day. It is very sad that we don't see the silliness and the lack of logic behind our own thoughts. But we have an opportunity to change that. And that change comes from the effort of self-observation. When we revisit our day in our retrospective exercise, when we do that every night, we can focus our attention as we are revisiting that day from that moment backwards until the time that we opened our eyes in the morning. We can start finding out every time that something bothered us, every time that we felt eluded, every time that we considered ourselves stronger, better, more capable than somebody else. And as we see that, as we start confronting our actions and our thoughts and our sentiments throughout the day, confronting meaning, as we are there in that meditative state, willing to perceive them, we start discovering our defects. And the moment that we discover them, that is a brilliant, grandiose moment. Because it is then and there that you can observe how that defect affects your thinking, how that defect invites inferior negative emotions. You can even see how your behavior, how your demeanor, how your habits, your mannerisms, how they all change whenever that defect is present. And even better, the more you observe, the more you start finding the sequences in which many of your egos operate. How is it that one of pride is immediately followed by one of greed? How is it that one of lust is immediately followed by one of pride? How is it that one of envy is immediately followed by one of laziness? You can see all of those flows and structures. You can see all of those transactions. And the more you comprehend the structures and the transactions of your aggregates, the more empowered you become to work with your Divine Mother and eliminate them. And the more you eliminate them, the more awakened your consciousness becomes. And the more awakened your consciousness becomes, the more capable you become of seeing all of your mistakes. And friends, if we want to be happy in life, if we want to truly be successful in life, we have to start by correcting our mistakes. So let's go ahead and let's do a very simple practice today. We're going to keep this practice brief, so that you can carry it with you into your retrospective exercise of the day. So what we are going to do is that we are going into a brief relaxation of the physical body. As the physical body relaxes, as the emotions calm down, the intellect will naturally tend to slow down. Your thinking sequences will become a little bit slower. And this is particularly good because it helps you start educating the mind so you can calm down in totality. So after we go through our exercise of relaxation, we're going to start a brief exercise of retrospection. We can do this as a guided exercise, so I will help move you backwards throughout your day in large segments. And as we do that, we will spend a brief moment observing what was happening at that time of the day, wherever we were, so that we can find out what was bothering us. What were the silly thoughts that we were projecting towards others? What happened that we felt eluded, that we felt hurt, that we felt attacked? Let's see all that. Let's find all those moments where we looked at someone and we gave them the cold shoulder because we're better than them. But you see, because when we find that discovery invites us into doing more work. And the more we work upon our own selves, the greater the love for the work itself becomes. So dear friends, let's go ahead and sit comfortably. Allow your feet to be flat on the floor. Just rest your hands comfortably over your thighs. And as you're doing that, close your eyes. If the light from your computer screen is too much, it is perfectly fine to throw a towel over your computer screen. Let's just close our eyes and let's take a deep breath in one. Exhale in two. Two. One. Two. One. Two. and visualizing that our body is populated by an infinite amount of little gnomes. Let's allow these little gnomes to walk happily out the soles of our feet. And as they walk out one by one, we immediately start feeling a very peculiar sense of relaxation in our feet, in our heels, in our ankles, in our calves. And we enjoy this sense of relaxation without identifying with it. We maintain our alert novelty and our remembrance of self. And at the same time, we are deeply thankful and grateful for this new opportunity. We continue breathing without making any effort. We simply allow the flow of that breath of life to flow in and out of our lungs. And as you exhale, and as you continue observing these little gnomes walking out the soles of your feet, you can feel that relaxation permeating and spreading throughout your thighs. And you can feel that relaxation reaching your glutes, relaxing your creative organs, relaxing the muscles in your abdomen. And with every exhalation, you allow all the tension and all of the stress that may exist in your internal organs to be carried away by these little gnomes. With every exhalation, the exhalation itself becomes deeper, and we relax our stomach, we relax our heart and our lungs. And we are very thankful for the way they work. We're very thankful for the service that they provide us. And we ultimately allow that relaxation to reach our shoulders. And from our shoulders, we see it cascade down into our elbows, our wrists, our hands, and out the tips of our fingers. And we enjoy this relaxation in gratitude and gratefulness. And we do not identify with it. relax the muscles of our neck, the muscles around our jaw, our lips. We relax our tongue. We relax the muscles of our face, our eyelids, our eyes. We allow that frown to disappear and we release any tension that may exist in those muscles around our forehead. And just like that, we allow all of that sense of relaxation, all of that lightness, to spread along our scalp all the way up to the crown of our head. And as we become watchful, we can immediately perceive that very subtle vibration that inundates and permeates throughout every aspect of our physical body. And with it, we invoke our innermost by saying, Father of mine, God of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my internal God, we ask of you, we beg of you with our soul and our heart. We beg of your wisdom, of your guidance. Guide us through this retrospective exercise. And give us the faculty of imagination, so that we can see our defect. Give us the faculty of intuition, so that we can truly comprehend the effect of that defect. Give us the faculty of inspiration, so that we can see the significant impact that defect has in our life and in the lives of others, of all those who are with us, visible and invisible. And with that, let's start our retrospective exercise starting at this moment. We are going to walk backwards in our day from this moment until the moment that we woke up this morning, the moment that we opened our eyes. So starting out at this moment, revisit your thoughts, your reactions. As you were listening to our words at the very beginning and throughout this conversation that we have been having tonight, perhaps you saw yourself reflected in any of the many examples that we shared. And if you did, then observe right then and there. What was the reaction at the level of the mind? Were there thoughts of justification? Was there an attempt to label what was happening in your mind? Perhaps was there an attempt to hide that thing that you came to see even for a brief moment? And what was that? Notice the emotions that you may have experienced at that moment. Perhaps you felt eluded, uncomfortable. Perhaps you were feeling boredom. Maybe there was a sensation, an emotion of not caring. Observe your habits. At the time that you were hearing those words, was either one of your feet going restless? Were you adjusting your position on the chair or on the sofa? Did you roll your eyes? Did you make any kind of gesture with your mouth? Were you just leaning and resting your head on the palm of your hand? All these details are important because together they all give you an indication of which psychological aggregate was there. It could have been an aspect of pride. It could have been an aspect of self-consideration, of self-love. It could have been an aspect of anger. Or maybe it could have been an aspect of laziness. But as you see that, limit yourself to observing that defect without judging it, without justifying it, but only seeking to comprehend it. And as you have done that, with that new level of comprehension, you can invoke of your Divine Mother by saying, Divine Mother, we call upon you. We beg you with our soul and our heart that you take this psychological aggregate that we are comprehending and that you help us eliminate it. Divine Mother, we ask that you turn this psychological aggregate to cosmic dust. And we ask of you to liberate and free up that fraction of consciousness that is trapped within. And using your faculty of imagination, imagine of your Divine Mother holding between her fingers that beautiful spark of light. A beautiful dot of light, perhaps the size of a grain of sand, and yet of a very intense brilliance. And in gratitude and gratefulness, see her deposit that little grain of light back into your heart. So let's continue with our retrospection. And as you do this, your goal is to go back in your day minute by minute. But let's take it down at the time when we were having dinner. Perhaps the time where you were preparing dinner. And just like that, let's find for those moments where we felt eluded, those moments where we potentially felt psychologically hurt, perhaps those moments where we thought of someone else as them being bad people. The moment that we saw somebody else behaving unfairly. Perhaps the moment that we thought that somebody else was just perverse. And it is at that moment that when we are doing these projections, we are thinking of ourselves as if we were very docile creatures. As if we were a golden child, which are just false definitions that we have about ourselves. And as you find that moment, again, observe the thoughts that were flowing through your mind and notice your reactions. Observe the emotions, the inferior negative emotions that you immediately projected. And observe the effect on your habits, on your mannerisms, the reactions in your physical body. As you start seeing what this defect is, realize that what you are seeing is part of that base of that foundation over which you lean upon. That is that foundation over which we are creating our self-image. And with that level of understanding, we can once again invoke of our Divine Mother. By saying, Divine Mother, Mother of mine, we ask of you and we beg of you, with our soul and our heart, that you take your flaming spear of arrows and that you turn this psychological aggregate into cosmic dust. Divine Mother, we ask that you make use of your flaming fire, of your electric fire, and that you destroy the psychological aggregate. And with that, once again, use your faculty of imagination to see of your Divine Mother in infinite love and in infinite kindness, deposit another minuscule grain of light into your heart. And yet we know that even though we have done this, that those psychological aggregates still linger, that there is more that must be comprehended about them, that there is more about them that must still be observed, that there is more of those psychological aggregates that is yet to be discovered. Every little progress that we make is good progress. Every little bit of consciousness that we can effectively work to liberate with the intervention of our Divine Mother is an effort well spent. And most of all, let's realize that we have to change our ways of thinking. That we must become capable of seeing all of those silly things that we do to others, all of those perverse and ill-willed actions that we perform against others. We must acknowledge that we are indeed not magnificent persons. But that by working intensely upon ourselves, that we can eventually become a very fine and delicate instrument at the service of our innermost. So we will ask you, let's come back to the present moment. Let's take a deep breath, and as you do that, wiggle your toes and wiggle your fingers. And as you exhale, open your eyes. So, dear friends, this has been our practice today. Discovering our internal Pharisee. As you do your retrospection, we ask and we invite you to be rigorous in your exercise. Go back in your day, hour by hour, if possible, minute by minute, until the moment that you open your eyes in that morning. And as you continue doing this, you will see that you will be able to connect to the last images of the last dream that you had, and you would be able to carry your retrospective exercise into the dreams that you had the previous night. And beyond that, the events of the previous day, of the previous week, of the previous month, of the previous year. Develop the ability of retrospection, as it is one of the most powerful tools that we have in our efforts of self-observation and self-discovery. Dear friends, thank you so much for joining us this evening, and may all beings be happy. Happy. Happy.